Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Insight. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another Wednesday evening episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks, broadcasting from Michigan. And with me, my co-host from down there in Alabama, Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing nifty keen, sitting here watching the radar because we got a big old storm coming up from the Gulf, and it's about 2 seconds away. So you might hear some thunder in the background.
We've got that right here. We've got
that's
thunder.
Me generating
we got rain.
Excitement.
All right. So show 45. We are 5 away from 50.
Or 55 away from 100. Depends on how you want to look at it.
So, there's some thunder.
I had a interesting week. One of my uncles died. I'm down to only one uncle left, and I traveled to Tennessee for his funeral. And I'll tell you, they talk about kids these days. I'm sitting there looking at, like, pallbearers that are grandchildren, in their 20s, sitting up there wearing Harley Davidson skull T-shirts and a tractor shirt and things like that. And it's like, boy, times have changed. Back in my day, you put on something with no holes in it when you went to a funeral.
Yeah. Or if you had holes in it, you sewed it up.
Yeah. But, one thing that always strikes me when I go to Tennessee to see a funeral in the South here is, in particular in Tennessee, this particular one, it was like a 20-mile trip to the cemetery. And when you're driving down these country roads, as you're going by people, every car pulls over and stops. And I mean, they'll stop in the middle of the road if there's no other place to go. And every car stops and waits for the funeral procession to go by. And a lot of people get out of their cars and stand there next to their cars, like with their hand on their heart, and just show respect for some stranger going by with the family. All my life, these funerals in the South always struck me because in Michigan, if you're in a funeral procession, they'll run you off the road if you're not careful.
Yeah. I just had a situation like that. It was going through an intersection and, the light was green and it had changed. This is about a month ago. And here comes these cars, they were actually motorcycles, and it was just a whole crew of them. And so I was like, all right, stop. Don't, even though it's green, let them go through. And there was probably 50, 60 motorcycles that went through. And that's what it was. It was a funeral procession for a biker that had passed away. So you hold up and let them go through. But yeah, if we'd have gone through, they'd have, flipped us the bird or something because we were just cutting in front of them. They weren't about to stop, but, I don't fault them for that.
It's hard to tell
when it's a motorcycle gang. There's not the little flags that say, hey, it's a funeral procession.
Now, last night we had rain like we're about to have here tonight, and I went outside on the deck for a little bit between bursts of rain, and I'm telling you, there had to be 100 million singing tree frogs out there looking for companionship, little frog daring do, as it were. And it's kind of funny because down here, the singing tree frogs, they're about two and a quarter inches long, and they're like mockingbirds. They mimic other frogs. And when they get to going, it's funny because you'll hear dozens of different little songs and tweets and chirps and things like that out competing with each other. And it brings the whole area alive. And I always enjoy that.
American Idol for frogs.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we got a couple of announcements here. If you are fans of Mark Herndon, who was the Country Music Hall of Fame longtime drummer for the super group Alabama, their 30-odd number one hits, he's getting back to where he's playing again now that we're coming out of the pandemic lockdowns. And sometime in the past couple of years, he got smart and he married Leah Seawright, country music singer. Now, we published Mark Herndon's memoir called The High Road about his years, about growing up and then all of his years playing with Alabama, which is a fascinating memoir and continues after, what, three and a half years now to be one of our best-selling books month after month after month. But at any rate, Mark is playing drums with Leah and her band, and they're playing in Center, Alabama this Saturday night, place called Easy Street. Now, Center, Alabama is not far from kind of in between Birmingham, a little bit north of that area. So if you're anywhere near North Alabama this weekend, I recommend that you go to Easy Street and check out the Herndons, Mark Herndon, Leah Seawright, and her band. There's also a lot of other concerts that come around lately. I've been real excited. This week I got tickets for the Boxmasters. You know the Boxmasters, Beam.
Yes, I do. That's Billy Bob Thornton's musical group. And this is what, your third time seeing them?
Yeah, no, the last time he had a surprise guest with him, he had Robert Fripp on guitar.
Wow.
And Robert Fripp's been known for, he started out with King Crimson for a long time. And who, by the way, tickets are going on sale tomorrow morning for King Crimson with Robert Fripp at Ryman Auditorium, the classic Grand Ole Opry Auditorium in Nashville. I intend to go to that. But he had Robert Fripp also was David Bowie's guitarist for a long time. And Beam, you probably know some other people he's played with. But,
yeah, he's played with a whole bunch of people in studio and live as well. So he's got a long resume.
And most of you know Billy Bob Thornton as a movie star or TV star, shows like Fargo. But he's a very, very successful, famous actor and was known for being Angelina Jolie's squeeze for a while there.
They were married.
But anyway, Billy Bob's a real nice guy. The first time he played in Huntsville, I parked right by the tour bus in the back. And after the show, I went back out there, you know, to get in the car with my friend. And Billy Bob was hanging out back there with the musicians. So we just hung out with him for a while and chatted and just had a good old time. And then a year later, when they came around again, I made it a point to head back there by the tour bus. And he instantly recognized me and brought up some things we had talked about the year before. So that's my little brush with fame. A little bit of luck, we'll be able to do that again. Also, I want to mention, too, that there are a whole bunch of shows coming now scheduled by what you call the Black Jacket Symphony. And they tend to stay in the five or six states here in the southwest of the U.S., but they're branching out and playing in Maryland and Wyoming and a couple other places, too. But Black Jacket Symphony, they pick an album, and then they have about 40 to 50 professional musicians, and they bring in whichever musicians are appropriate to make that album sound right. And these albums will be like Pink Floyd's The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon or Led Zeppelin's 2 or 4 or, you know, Prince's Purple Rain, David Bowie. I mean, the Eagles, Hotel California, they're doing that this summer. And they recreate that album precisely, exactly the way it is on the album. And then they take an intermission and they come back and they play for about another hour, best of that band too. So there's a whole bunch of those coming around. And if you guys are into affordable concerts, as opposed to like the last couple of concerts I bought tickets for in the past few weeks, they're like $400 or $500 a seat, but affordable concerts, $30, $40 a seat, look for Black Jacket Symphony and check them out. They're a lot of fun. And Babe, you've seen Black Jacket Symphony.
Yeah, I saw them when I was down there in Alabama with you here a few years ago. They did the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band album from start to finish, and they had the Alabama Symphony Orchestra doing the string arrangements in there, and it just sounded phenomenal. And then they took the intermission and came back and did a whole ton of Beatles hits. And I'll be down there in the fall in September, and we're going to see Pink Floyd's The Wall and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, I believe it is, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Fantastic. And then this summer, or actually, it's been rescheduled, so it's fall now. I'm going to be seeing Megadeth in concert at Soaring Eagle Casino up in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm a big 80s heavy metal guy. Love all kinds of music, but grew up with the 80s heavy metal stuff. And Megadeth's one of those bands that I haven't seen so far. So I'm going to get a chance to see them this time. And these guys are all getting up there in age, so this may be the opportunity to do it before there is no more opportunities.
Yeah, these what they call tribute concerts, there's a whole lot of them now besides Black Jacket Symphony, especially the big bands like Beatles, for example. There's four or five what they call tribute yeah. bands out there doing Beatles shows. And I've heard a couple of people kind of speak, you know, speak down about these kinds of shows. And I've even taken a couple of people to see them. And they, you know, they go and they're expecting like a cover band in a bar and not realizing it's a full-fledged concert with all of the pyrotechnics and the lasers
yeah.
and the lights. And I mean, the full show. And they just put on, you know, a fantastic concert. And when you get to my age and you can't see real clearly anyway, it might as well be the famous person up there doing the performance as opposed to the expert professional musician who's also doing a good job. But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, no, well, you know, why would you go see somebody else do Pink Floyd? Well, because you can't go see Pink Floyd anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you
can't
go.
That's dumb.
Yeah, you can't go see Beethoven anymore either. But you know, Beethoven wrote songs to be performed live before audiences, and had shows put together for doing that. And now, hundreds of years later, people are coming along and performing those shows. Well, I'd like to think that some of these great concerts of our era, you know, Led Zeppelin IV. I mean, really, you know, Stairway to Heaven, Black Dog. What's not
yeah.
liking something like that? But to
yeah.
see that bands can come along after Led Zeppelin is gone and be able to continue to perform these songs and put on the shows the way a band like Led Zeppelin did is keeping the culture alive and sharing it with a new generation. So I heartily support those kinds of shows.
Well, yeah. And, you know, speaking of Led Zeppelin, a couple of summers ago, you and I went to Pine Knob up here in Michigan to see Peter Frampton and the Jason
oh.
Bonham Led Zeppelin evening was the opening. And this is Jason Bonham, so he's a direct connection to Led Zeppelin. And that's the closest thing that you're going to get to Led Zeppelin, and it was a phenomenal show. They've got a singer. Go over to my my YouTube channel, B Weeks, and there's a bunch of B Weeks, so you have to wade through there. But I've got some video from those shows, and the singer there, he sounded a lot like Robert Plant, and the guitar player looked a lot like Jimmy Page. I mean, it looked like Led Zeppelin up there, and it sounded like Led Zeppelin up there. But it was a good time. So
definitely. All right. Last week we had Trenton Bennett, voiceover artist and producer, narrator for audiobooks. He was our guest on the show. We ran long because we certainly had lots of things to talk about. And it's a topic of a lot of interest to authors, especially those interested in getting into audiobooks. In the past week, we have invited Trenton Bennett to become a member of Fresh Ink Group. He now is. So you can find him on the freshinkgroup.com website, where he will be featuring all the various audiobooks that he has performed on, whether we publish him or not as a member. We encourage him to promote all of his work. And he also has been invited and accepted to be a member of G's Writer, which is G'sWriter.com. And that's a website that we operate as a resource for writers. We've got experts over there, people from Lizzie Chantry to Harmony Kent, and now Trenton Bennett, who are over there posting information, advice, how-tos, and things like that for writers for the various kinds of things they want to get into. And through that website, they make themselves available if people want to contact them, ask questions, arrange to work on projects or whatever. So that's G's Writer, G'sWriter.com. Trenton Bennett is now a member over there as well as a member at freshinkgroup.com. So welcome, Trenton. We're glad to have you.
And we'd also like to welcome a couple of new authors as well. Carlisle Toms, who we had on a couple of weeks ago. He is now a Fresh Ink Group author, as well as Andrew McGregor. So welcome to the Fresh Ink Group stables. And we look forward to working with these guys and promoting their stuff.
Yeah. Now, Andrew McGregor is a cohort of Robert G. Williscroft. They both belong to, I believe it's an Adventurers Club. And that's how Andrew heard about us. Andrew's an interesting character. He's written kind of a dark thriller, which is very interesting, especially the way it's structured. I'm really looking forward to digging into it further as we prepare to publish it. Andrew is, he's an adventurer who's got probably one of the most diverse resumes that you'd ever see. And one of the fun things that he's been doing for the past month or so is out there on the West Coast, he's living in Southern California. He dresses up in his full Scottish regalia, including the kilt, every evening and walks to a park that's right there in Santa Monica. And the locals have discovered he's doing this. So we're getting small crowds are gathering every night. but he walks to the park carrying his bagpipes, and then the crowd gathers wrong, and he stands up there in front of the fence on the grass and uses his bagpipes to play Amazing Grace. And it's really nice. He does a beautiful job of it, and you can even find him playing Amazing Grace in the park on YouTube. It's Andrew McGregor, if you want to go check that out. But he's now a Fresh Ink Group member, and he's just eclectic enough to fit in with us, that's for sure.
All right. Welcome now, aboard, Andrew.
Yeah, we also are going to be promoting in the next week or so that Robert G. Willis Cross science fiction series about hard shell wingsuits, Daedalus, which all four of those stories are individual books, but they're also collected into one omnibus called the Daedalus Files. We're going to be running a promo sometime in this week. It's going to start on all the retailers except Amazon tomorrow. But what we're doing is we're squeezing Amazon to get Amazon to lower the price to zero so we can give that first book away everywhere, all over the world. And that way people can test out that series, see what they think, and enjoy the first story for free. Kind of hard to argue with that. We're also publishing My Three Wishes this week. Those started going up yesterday. And Willis Cross Operation Arctic Sting, we're expecting sometime in the next couple of days too. And we're probably about less than 2 weeks out now from David Carroll's Hello Chattanooga, which is shaping up to be more than 650 pages with hundreds and hundreds of classic photos of the rich and the famous.
Wow.
And the stars and the musicians or whatever. And it's just a very interesting book. I keep falling into that thing every time I look at it. So we got some exciting stuff happening in the next couple of weeks.
All right. So if you want to participate in tonight's show, and if you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest, who we will be introducing here in just a minute, you can call in at 516-453-9902 or go to Twitter. But here, we'll let our voiceover guy tell you what to do.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Thanks, voiceover guy. All right,
hey.
Now, tonight's guest, Lanny Richmond, has been an associate pastor, a senior pastor, involved in men's ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, and is currently an ordained independent evangelist. He lives in Lansing, Michigan, and has been married to his wife, Lori, for more than 30 years. He is the father of 3 grown children and 5 grandchildren. Warning, no one is scared of hell until they get there. I have been there, is his first book. Satan, You Lying Devil, You, is his second book. And he also happens to be my uncle. So without any further ado, welcome to the show, Lanny. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Lanny.
Doing good. Doing good, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this is a nice opportunity. I've never had one of my relatives on, so, but I will also have a cousin on in the coming months. So we'll do it twice, I guess, and we'll have to maybe get Stephen's father on the air sometime just to talk about what he was like as a kid. So, Lanny, why don't we start off by telling us where you're from, where you've lived, and you know what's going on with your history. I know you're from Michigan, as I just announced, but what say you?
Okay, I was born in Lansing, Michigan, and I grew up on the north side of town. I went to Sheridan Road School, kindergarten, 8th grade, and I went to C.W. Otto for 1 year, and I went to Eastern High School from 63 to 65 and graduated Eaton from Eastern High School. And then I went to Lansing Business University and took up accounting, but I didn't stay in that very long. And then after that, Uncle Sam sent me a letter and said, come on over, boys. Vietnam War was going on then, but I didn't go to Vietnam. I went to Germany, and Army was a good experience. It helps you to grow in a lot of areas. It helps you to live with people and get along with people, you know. So it was some good things there, too. But
Now, how long were you stationed in Germany?
I was in the Army for 2 years. I was in Germany for about 17 months. And,
17 months?
And I came back home.
Okay.
And I came back home, yep. But,
and where are you living now?
Living in Lansing on the north side, over near the airport. And been married to my wife 39 years and about, I don't know, 10 more days, 11 more days. So time flies.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we got to update your bio then, because it says for more than 30 years. We got to say for almost 40 years.
Yeah, 39 right. And one more year will be 40. We met on a Tuesday. True story. We met on a Tuesday. 3 days later, we got engaged. 3 months later, we got married, and like I said, we've been together for 39 years, the 19th of this month. So,
wow.
About going someplace. With her.
That's a quick courtship.
Right. But God was in it. We knew God was putting us together. Now, my kids come to me and told me they met somebody and they're going to get married 3 or 4 days or 3 months. I probably talk them out of it, but we knew God was in it. God had put us together. So we knew we'd be safe, but you know, it always has some problems in marriage. Every marriage has some problems, but you work through it. You just, you know, quitters don't win and winners don't quit. And so we stuck together and we're deeply in love with each other and we have a good time together.
Everybody should be so lucky. Everybody should be so lucky. I want to send a message out real quick here. Over on Twitter, Dr. Helen Burrell says that she can't listen to the show. Her link's not working. So, Dr. Helen, I just emailed you the link to the show. So hit your email real quick and click on the link in the email, and you should be able to come into the studio. Now,
well, hopefully
if she's hearing
hear
the show,
that.
Yeah, if she's hearing the show, she just heard that. But, you know, otherwise, hopefully she'll see that email.
Yeah, I see Verwayne had sent her a message as well. Verwayne Greenhow had sent her a message on what he does to get on to the show. So maybe she's his hearing. Yeah, now, Lanny, going back to your education, the schools that you went to, aside from Sheridan Road, I went to Otto as well, and I graduated from Eastern. So this is, you know, multi-generations of my family have graduated from Lansing Eastern High School. It's a great school. The original building they stopped using as of this year, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? It was an old building. It was opened in 1927, so they got their use out of it.
Yeah. I looked in it six, 8 months ago, and it was really looked old. So I could understand why they needed a new building. It really was old looking. But it was a good school. And, a lot of good things come out of Eastern High School. A lot of good people come out of Eastern.
Yeah.
Most of my family graduated from Eastern High School. So.
Now, listeners, we want to remind you, head over to Twitter and use hashtag Fresh Ink Group in a tweet, and we can see what you have to say, or go ahead and call in on that phone number. We got a bunch of commercials this week, Beam. You want to go ahead and roll one? We'll come back and talk to Lanny again.
All right.
How about Sassy?
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Stanton. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. And isn't it why everyone was so proud to be a AME? Then I meet Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has written a book about me, my brother, and my friends with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy discovers that AME Church is published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
All right. Now, we had author B.A. Johnson on this show some time ago. So go to the archives and find that episode if you missed it, and you'll find out what went into behind the scenes to putting that book together.
It's a fascinating story, definitely. Now, since we have a Christian author on today, the commercials we've chosen follow a Christian or spiritual theme, and that one was about teaching young African-American children or black children all around the world about the origins of their Christian church. And then we got a couple of other spiritual and Christian commercials coming too. So, Lanny, we're honoring you today with our commercial selections.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
So, So what sort of childhood did you have, Lanny?
When I was a child growing up, I had a lot of anger in me. And that anger carried over into my adult life. And I'm working on it now, you know. You get things in your childhood, and it affects you as an adult. And like I said, I'm watching videos and trying to change my way of thinking and not letting anger control me. My mother was a good person. She's a very good mother, but she didn't know how to raise kids. She didn't have any discipline into us. And when you don't have discipline, you don't have respect for people. And there was a lot of people that I can look back at and say that I didn't respect them. Most of my teachers I didn't respect. And it's just when I raised kids, I didn't have discipline because I didn't know how to raise them. So I raised them with love and giving and caring. And, you know, but you need that balance. You need that discipline. You know, it isn't always love, 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 you know. And I didn't really have that at all because I wasn't taught it. So I would urge parents, as much as it may hurt you, discipline your children. They'll be better people, you know. But that's something I wish that would have happened. But my mom gave us a lot of freedom, and I did have a good childhood life, but I just missed that discipline because you don't respect people. So I grew up not respecting a lot of my school teachers, you know. And so those are mistakes, but you know what? We all make mistakes so we can get by them. As long as we recognize them and know what we did wrong, that's a great help, you know. We can move forward.
Yeah. I'm fortunate because your mother was my grandmother, and I got grandma when she was older and kinder, I guess.
Mellowed out.
And for about 2 years, she babysat me and my little brother during the school week because my mother was working nights. This is right after my parents got a divorce. And, you know, she didn't put up with anything when Jason and I were there. If we got into shenanigans too much, it was go sit out on the front porch. They had that enclosed front porch. Go sit out on the front porch for a little while. And that was kind of the time out. But, I miss her, so, you know.
I miss her too.
So how did you spend your time as a child, Lenny? Were you into reading and writing? Were you a homebody, or were you out kicking the can down the road all the time, or catching frogs? What kind of kid were you?
I absolutely love sports. I loved baseball. I could play baseball for 8 hours a day, every day.
Wow.
I played softball on a summer team. I loved bowling. Used to bowl on Saturdays, but then it got difficult to get the money from them, so I got tired of begging and can I? So I just said, okay, I'm through. You know, I'm not going to ask anymore. They didn't have a lot of money, you know, so, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But I like sports. And like I said, my childhood, my mother gave us a lot of freedom, and I appreciate that because I had a lot of fun.
Did you play on teams? Like, were you on the school junior varsity or varsity teams, or was this just out in the streets and the fields?
Well, I played on Sheridan Road School basketball, but I didn't stay on it very long. And then I played with the neighborhood kids. We played about every day in the summer with the neighborhood kids. There was a baseball field like just a few hundred feet from my place until they built a subdivision in there, and they ran us out of there. So, just for the neighborhood kids, and I delivered newspapers and to make money. And I worked at the Lansing City Market from about 6 o'clock in the morning to about 6 o'clock at night for $2 a day. But remember, that was, and it was hard work. And that was back in the early 60s. I think I was about 14. So, delivered the newspapers and tried to sell a little bit of stuff, and then had a couple of paper routes, Then I just went to other stuff. I worked at a restaurant for a few years when I got into my teens and had me a car and pretty much did what I wanted to. Had a job and paid my own bills, paid my own car insurance, paid my own car payment. So,
there's
a lot of good stuff.
The job at the city market, they're $2 a day. But, you know, back in the early 60s, that would have been, you know, a pretty good chunk of change for a kid. I remember, you know, in the 70s, $2, man, I can go up and stock up on candy for $2, candy that'll last a month.
Right. I work Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays in the summer, and I saved up $39, and I bought my second bike. My second bike, $39, and I ended up putting in the city market. But, I don't know.
Well, we have a
people
couple
back
of comments.
In those days could irritate. What's that?
We have a couple of comments here on Twitter, so I'm going to read these before they expire, before they get old.
Okay.
Verwayne Greenhoe, he said, good evening, folks. It's a beautiful day here, and it's 82 degrees at showtime. Now, Verwayne is up in the UP. He's a Uper in the UP of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. He says, we love listening to your guests every week and look forward to listening to Mr. Richmond tonight, Lisa and Verwayne Greenhoe. And Verwayne also said, eclectic. Isn't that a naughty word?
Only if you plug it in.
That again?
And Robert G. Williscroft, he said, experience is recognizing a mistake when you make it for the third time.
Yeah.
We're two that time.
And it looks like Dr. Helen is on because she thanked Verwayne. So
welcome to the show, Dr. Helen.
Yeah,
there's also a tweet there. I see that our young marketing guy, Sam, has had the Fresh Ink Group account put out a tweet about last week's show with Trenton Bennett. So get over there and search hashtag freshinkgroup.com, and you can get a link to listen to last week's show in case you missed it or in case you want to hear it again, because he was full of information about getting into audiobooks and how all that works.
Right.
Okay, now... when you were growing up, Lanny, were you into reading, writing? Since you've written a couple of books, how did this come about? Were you a reader? I know I was when I was a kid. Still am.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Still are a kid?
Yeah.
I read some. I was much older when I knew that the Lord had told me to write these books, so. That's why I did it, and if he tells me to write another book, I'll write another book. And always, the books are out because of my wife was so good. I didn't have the patience, and I wanted to give up. She said, we're not giving up. God wants us to get these books out. We're going to do it. So I give all the praise and glory to my wonderful wife.
Good for her.
All right. She cracks the whip.
I have
you,
a good one.
And you tap the keys.
So, Beam, why don't we roll another commercial, and then we'll come back and talk to Lanny about his military experience. I bet there's a story or two there.
All right.
And this one would be The Christian Romance by Jeannie Sharp, A Chance to Choose.
Now, from popular Christian romance author Jeannie Sharp, A Chance to Choose. The life of a baker had been his dream since college, but a deep void surfaces every morning when Ben looks at himself in the mirror. Why at 29 has he not been able to find the woman of his dreams? His boss and owner of Camden Bake Shop, Chloe, keeps pestering him about dating. Then, an old fling mails him a plane ticket to London, except turmoil draws him back home to Virginia. Does Ben get the chance to go to London? With three women suddenly interested, will Ben ever be able to choose? A Chance to Choose is book three of the Second Chances series by Christian romance and children's book author Jeannie Sharp. A Chance to Choose is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, paperback, and all ebook formats from Kindle to Kobo to Nook and Google Play. A Chance to Choose is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Grab your copy of A Chance to Choose today.
Yeah, get out there and grab a copy.
Yeah, based on our commercials, that sounds like that Fresh Ink Group publishes a lot of books.
Yeah. Yeah, they some busy fellers over there and ladies. So, let's get back to the military thing. You said Uncle Sam came calling, which means you were drafted?
Yes.
All right. What was that like?
Well, like I said, it was a good experience because with my anger and stuff, I was more or less kind of a loner. I only had let a couple kids come into my life, you know, hang around with just a couple people, you know. And then when you got in the Army, you had to sleep, you had to shower, you had to eat with more than a couple people. So that was really a good experience. That helped me to get to be more sociable with people, you know. And I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky for, we'll say, 8 weeks. And then I had to go back for advanced individual training, Fort Knox, Kentucky, for another week, for another 8 weeks. And in between those times, I got to come home for 2 weeks each time, which a lot of people didn't get to. And then they sent me to Germany for about 17 months. And I have a great long-term memory, so I can still remember a lot of those guys I was in Germany with. And I think about them, but I tried to get a hold of a few on Facebook, but I could never get any of them because that's been many years ago. We got out in 68, and probably a lot of them have passed away, you know. And but I just had one friend that, he was in the Army. He just passed away 2 years ago. He lived in Battle Creek. And we once in a while would text back and forth on Facebook, but we never really got together and went out to dinner or anything like that. But I still think of my Army buddies, you know. And like I said, I didn't like the Army when I was in it, but I look back now and say, you know, it wasn't that bad. And so it was a learning experience, and that's great if you can just learn.
Well, that's,
you
know, I think
made,
that's the way
it is. A better person.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is with a lot of things. You know, I look back at school. When I was in school, I couldn't wait to get out and graduate and be done with this. And then, you know, years later, you miss that. You miss the going in there and the camaraderie, the friends, and all the silliness. Now, with the military, for the youngsters out there who might be listening to this episode, getting drafted into the military means you got a notice from the government that said, guess what? It's your time to serve in the military, and you didn't have any say in it. You just went. And,
no say at all.
Like that? Nah, right.
Yeah, and you know, they don't do that anymore, but at times I think, well, maybe they should. You know, some of these
yeah.
people out there that are just kind of floating around and aimless might need a little more discipline, but, you know, I'm
I
not
think
in charge
the military
of that.
Would be a lot easier today than it was back in those days because people have changed, times have changed, things have changed.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
you got
definitely.
You know, you can get in there and be involved with, you know, computers and things like that. There's all
definitely.
Kinds of different stuff that you get into.
Learn to fly jet planes and then retire from the Air Force or something and come out and get you a good job for flying commercial planes. And a lot of those pilots did come out of the Air Force or Navy.
Yeah. Yeah.
An officer and a gentleman.
Right.
I want to fly airplanes.
Now, see, I became a teen in the early 70s, so I missed the Vietnam War draft by about 2 to 3 years. Most of my friends had older brothers who were getting drafted and sent over there, and sadly, not all of them came back. It was a very hard, controversial time, but it's kind of funny because down here now, the old guys who are veterans, they gather in the fast food places like Hardee's and whatnot early in the morning, and they sit around at the tables and swap stories, and they always wear those caps that show what their military service was. And I went to a place early yesterday, and this old guy walking with a cane, I mean, this guy looked old as the hills, was walking toward me wearing a cap that said Vietnam veteran. And I thought, oh.
Yeah.
Something's moving by pretty fast.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's that era. I remember that era crystal clear, but I was way too young to serve. I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, so I wasn't going off to fight anywhere except in the backyard.
A lot of people burning the draft cards, going over to Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brought a lot of protest to this country, that Vietnam War, but it is what it was, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's, everybody has a thought on that, opinions on it. It was definitely a different war from anyone that was fought previous to that, World War One, World War Two, Korea. So,
true.
All right, so you get out of the military, and you hit the streets of Lansing. What next?
got out of the military. Then I got a job at Oldsmobile. I'd worked there before, and the Vietnam War was going on, so they were hiring anybody. Of course, I was a good worker and had a good work record. And I went back to work at Oldsmobile in Lansing. And then I got married, and that's something I learned, too, from that. I got married, and we ended up getting a divorce, and had one child, a daughter, Penny. Now lives down in Florida. I don't see her that much, but, you know, it was the world was different back then than it is today. You know, things are different. People are different. But it was good days, especially when the Detroit Tigers won the World Series in 1968.
I remember
that. Yeah. I remember that. Well, that just thrilled my heart. Finally won the Tigers.
Yeah, the youngsters talk about 84, but we were there for 68.
Well, hey, I was a year and a half old in 68, so I have no memory of the Tigers winning it, but I do remember 84. And I'm a lifelong rabid Tiger fan. Lenny, you talked about being really into baseball. That was me from early on. I was obsessed with baseball. I used to get the baseball cards. I still got boxes full of baseball cards going all the way back to the early 70s. That I collected over the years, all the way through the 1990s, I was still collecting them. And, I knew the stats of every player on the Tigers, but not just on the Tigers. If they were playing the Red Sox, I knew who was doing what on the Red Sox and, you know, what the chances are that the Tigers might have a good series against these guys or whoever. So, I mean, baseball is just one of those games that, especially the Tigers. I used to take Tigers losses personally. I would be miserable. I'd stay up late watching it, and they'd blow it in the bottom of the ninth. And, I'd go to school the next day, and I was just miserable. But then the cool thing is the next night they play again, and they win. They trounce them, and all right, the world is safe again.
Yeah,
beat the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, that 68 World Series. I was 10 years old, and I was struck by the fact that at school they basically shut down classes when those games were being played and wheeled old black and white TVs into the classrooms, and teachers were climbing on desks, stringing wires everywhere to get those antenna signals strong so we could all sit in class and watch those. And afterwards, you know, when the Tigers won, people were out in the streets celebrating and, you know, making noise and things like that. And Lanny, you say it was a different time. I don't remember anybody overturning any cars or starting any fires. It was just celebration, just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nonsense didn't come in until later. I just don't get that. I'm a Michigan State Spartan, diehard Spartan. I bleed green. For those who don't know, that's Michigan State is green and white. But when they win a championship or they make it to the Final Four, they've got a really solid basketball program. They've been to 8 Final Fours in the last 20 years, and they've won a national championship and been to the finals a few times. And it's every time they advance that far, you got the kids on campus that want to drag their sofas out of their apartments and set them on fire. I don't get it. Dudes, that's your sofa. Where are you going to sit tomorrow night?
Yeah, there are easier ways to roast marshmallows.
And easier ways to celebrate.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
So, Bob, you want to roll another commercial, maybe hit Lady Bird?
Sure. Let me throw out a few comments here that we've got on Twitter. Verwayne Greenhoe says, my hero was Al Kaline. Al Kaline was my first all-time, he's Mr. Tiger. He, like Gordie Howe was Mr. Hockey, Al Kaline was Mr. Tiger and the greatest Tiger ever, although Miguel Cabrera is pretty good. But Mr. Kaline, he was my first favorite all-time Tiger. And,
yeah, I liked Bill Freehand, but Denny McClain was my guy.
Yeah,
Denny
McClain,
the pitcher.
Rocky Power 30-game winner.
Yep, and the one who went on to be a very noteworthy criminal and actually did
some
time.
Yes, he did, unfortunately. But, you know, you look at what he did on the field. You know,
oh, yeah.
What he did as a criminal, he's, you know, that's a whole different book. Robert G. Willicroft.
Mickey Lolich was a hero.
Yeah, Mickey Lolich. He was another one. A phenomenal pitcher. Robert G. Willicroft says, some of those baseball cards may be worth a lot. Yes, I've got Pete Rose. I've got Carl Yastrzemski and I've got some LK lines and some Hank Aaron's and things like that. I've got a bunch of oldies.
Remember, we're family.
But the baseball card market kind of dropped in the last 20 years. So, I mean, they're still worth money, but they're not like what they used to be. Now, a Mickey Mantle rookie card is still, you know, north of $50,000.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to play. Go ahead.
I started to say Verwayne Greenhoe also on Twitter just came back. He said in 1967, the city of Detroit was ablaze from riots. Yeah, we just talked about that a few weeks ago on the show. Guys like Willie Horton and Gates Brown did everything they could to keep the calm. They were the only thing that kept the city calm that year. Yeah, those were wild times.
Yeah.
Gates Brown was a great ball player.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Willie
yes,
Horton.
He was. Norm Cash. You know, let's bring up all those old guys.
Al Kaline, like you said, was great.
Yeah. Mr. Tiger. He was one of the
greatest
ever.
I was thinking about him the other night, but he's gone, I think.
Yeah, good
yeah,
man and a good example.
He passed away about a year ago, I believe it was.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to play a commercial that we made for Lanny's books. This covers, it's mainly Satan, You Lying Devil, since that's the new one, but it also mentions the first book towards the end of it. So this is kind of a spooky commercial, too, and that was the whole idea. Here we go.
Satan, You Lying Devil, You. Satan's plan always has a lie attached to it, making you think he is on your side to help you or to show you happiness. Ordained evangelist Lanny Richmond exposes Satan's lying ways with clear analysis and vivid examples, both from the Bible and his own exposure to hell. Chapters such as The Soul, The Real Life of a Man, Born Again, Saved, Deceiving Sins, and Love guide us carefully through deeper understanding of a path toward salvation. Satan, You Lying Devil, You boldly dares to detail the differences between Satan's plan and God's plan. It prepares us to wield truth as the best defense against Satan's lies. Find Satan, You Lying Devil, You by Lanny Richmond worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Also by Lanny Richmond, warning, no one is scared of hell until they get there. I have been there. Find Lanny Richmond and his books at freshinkroot.com.
All right.
That's a spooky narrator. I wonder who that was.
Well,
right.
We couldn't get Satan himself, but we got his younger brother, Sutton. So that was Sutton.
Yeah.
Right.
That was actually
Satan's
me.
Satan's got an agent that you just can't get around.
Yeah. That was actually me, and I used a voice synthesizer. And it was actually meant to be a space alien kind of voice. That's what they bill it as on the software that I use. It's an alien. But
that's a good segue into talking about the books now. So, Lanny, you want to tell us about Warning? What's the main theme that's in there, and what kinds of things you talk about?
Okay, it was a true experience. When I was 14 years old, I'd never known the Lord, but my Uncle Ollie Davis was a minister, and he came to me and talked to me about Jesus, and I accepted Jesus, and I found out, I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins. I found out he was real. And so I started serving the Lord, and I was going to Ottawa at the time, and I was very sincere. I mean, I prayed, and I seen things happen. I seen my prayers get answered. This one kid that I didn't think I could go in his yard, he come down to my friend's house one day, and I knew exactly what he was going to say to me before he ever said it, exactly. He said, Lanny, my dad said you can come in my yard anytime you want to. And that's confirmation that God is real and he knows all things. But and then I went to Otto, and I would share my testimony with people. And, you know, kids, teens, they started making fun of me and hitting on me. And, you know, hey, preacher man. I was called Mr. Preacher Man. Hey, preach us a sermon today. And the teacher that I had there, I knew he didn't like me because he liked to drink, and I could tell he never even mentioned God. And he hated me, and he hit me with a board one time across the seat of my pants, and he hit me hard. I could tell he didn't like me because, hey, I just like the Bible says, you know, if you start confessing Jesus to others, they're going to hate you. And that's what I went through. So I was 14, and I told the Lord, I said, I'll never turn my back upon you. I'll never go back into sin. And about 6 months later, because all the pressure, and the biggest thing I went by feelings. Oh, if I didn't feel the presence of God, and you know, God wasn't with me, he was angered at me, and I learned you don't go by feelings. And anyway, I went back into sin, and when I was about 20-some years old, I come back to the Lord the second time, and same thing, I seen prayers answered and filled his presence, and then I said, I'll never backslide in you again. I'll never walk away from you again. And my first wife and I, we bought a brand-new home out in Eagle, and it was about 20 miles out. And those cars back in those days weren't as good as these cars, but we had about 20, 25 miles to go to church. And Sunday morning would come. I said, you know, I'm not going today. I'm going to go Sunday night. Sunday night come. I said, I'm not going to go tonight. I'll go Wednesday. Wednesday come. And I said, yeah, I'm not going tonight. I'll go Sunday. Kept a cycle of this up. Well, pretty soon I was starving myself. You know, I wasn't reading the Bible. I was praying. I think I was starving myself. And all of a sudden I found myself back into sin. And, then I was in my 30s, and between the second time I got away from the Lord before I came back, one night I went to sleep, laid my head down on the pillow, and it was like, wham, I mean, something shut the lights off on me, and it went tremendously dark, you know, and I found myself in hell, and I was laying on my back. I had no strength. It was deathly silence. I wasn't aware of anybody else being there, but I knew now I was on the top side of hell. It wasn't hot where I was at, but it was torment. And I thought about the rich man that died and went to hell. I thought about my loved ones. I thought about my family, wondering if they had died, because in hell, there is no time. That's eternity. There's no time like here on earth, you know, 24 hours a day. In heaven, the same thing. There is no time. You're just there. And I started to curse God, and I looked up and I saw Jesus, and he said to me, he said, you backslid on me twice, which was the truth. He said, now you've died and you're in hell. And I kept begging and begging for another chance, and he said, no. He said, you backslid on me twice, and now you have died and you're in hell. And I'm screaming and screaming and screaming, begging and pleading, God, give me another chance, please, please, begging. He stopped. I never saw his face, but I saw him. He had a beige robe on, dark black hair, looked like real cream for the older people know what it is, slicked down, beautiful, beautiful hair, not one hair out of place. And underneath his gown, his whole body lit up like a big light, you know. He stopped and he said to me, he said, I'll give you one more chance. And boom, I was out of hell. And I come back to the Lord, and I've stayed pretty faithful to the Lord all these years. Probably been with him about 40 years now, or 41. Through that experience, I knew this guy, and I'm not going to mention his name. We'll call him John. John was a friend of my stepfather's who lived up to Chippewa Lake, my stepfather. And John had died with a drop dead, either in the hospital or on a treadmill. It was on a treadmill, the hospital, doctor's place, it doesn't matter. But he had a heart attack and dropped dead. For 3 minutes, they told him and his wife, he said, you were gone for 3 minutes. And he says, we hit you with these paddles and we brought you back. And he went through open heart surgery. And he kept telling my stepdad, never want to see that again. Never want to see that again. Never want to experience that again. Hope I never go through that again. So my stepdad said he won't say what he saw, but he just keeps saying, I hope I never go through that again. So I took my wife that I'm with now, Lori, because I wanted to find out, because me seeing hell, I wanted to find out what he saw. So we go out to his house, and he won't talk to me about it. Want a cup of coffee? Want a Coke? Want a sandwich? I said, what did you see? You know, you want to watch the movies? And I thought, I'm not getting no place with this guy, but I drove 20 miles out here to find out what you've seen, and I'm going to find out what you've seen. So I told him my story about me dying, going to hell. When I started telling my story, his eyes, his face got a blank stare on him. His eyes got as big as the moon, pointed. He said, Lanny, everything you told me, that's what I saw. He said, that's what it was. He said, I didn't see the man when the man was Jesus. He said, I didn't see him. But, I had an experience one night, the same place that I had was living alone where I knew my wife. I had an aunt, and she could rub you wrong, and we called her Dutch, but her name was Elizabeth, but we called her Dutch, and she could, but she thought, she just said it. She didn't care if it hurt you or not. You know, she just spit it out, you know? And so I said, man, I've had it with her. I'm not going around this woman anymore. She didn't build me up. She didn't make me feel good, you know? And she kept trying to pressure me. Why don't you date girls? Because, you know, just because you're divorced once, just because you're divorced, you know, you should go out and date. You're a nice-looking guy. Get out and date, you know? So anyway, it kind of irritated me. So when she'd call me, I knew it was her. I'd hang up. I wouldn't talk to her, and I wouldn't have nothing to do with her. I said, I'm not having nothing to do with this aunt anymore. I'm tired of her. So one night I went to sleep, and it was on a Saturday night, and I was just dozing off. I was halfway between sleep and awake, you know, and I looked up in my apartment, and I saw a black silhouette of a man, a black silhouette of a man shaped as a body. I couldn't recognize who it was, but I recognized his voice. It was my Uncle Glenn, which was my Aunt Dutch's brother-in-law. Uncle Glenn was married to my Aunt Osie. Osie and Aunt Dutch were sisters. And Glenn said to me, he's in a sweet, sweet voice like he always was. He said, Lanny, don't be that way towards Aunt Dutch. He said, I'm not going to be here. And he said, Dutch and Osie are going to need you. And I watched him break right up in front of my face and disappear. Well, that was Saturday. Next day, my sister Lori called me, and she said, you know, Uncle Glenn died last night. When she said that, everything I just told you came back to my mind. And I thought, that was between 10:30 and 11 when he was in my apartment. I said, what time did he die last night? She said, about a quarter to 11 last night. And so I knew I saw him. And hell's a real place, and that's why I wanted to warn people. And Jesus is who he says he is. And the Bible is God's word, and it's true. And the enemy will tell you that, oh, that Bible has been rewritten. This has been an old book. You can't believe that stuff. But it's not true. That's where the Satan, you lying devil, comes in, because he's always deceiving people. Man never dies. When we do die, what it is, our soul leaves our body. The Bible says that God created man from the dust of the earth. That was our body. Then he breathed into our nostrils, breathed inside the breath of life, and man become a living soul. And the Bible says, don't fear them that can kill your body. They can't kill your soul, because your soul is eternal. So no one ever dies. When that person goes to the cemetery, the reason they go to the cemetery, because the soul left the body. The soul, the real life of man left the body, and the body's a shell, you know. And so that goes back to ashes, ashes, dust to dust. But, you know, just Jesus is real. The Bible's real. And Satan is real, and he's a liar, and he's a master deceiver. Jesus is God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other God but Jesus. The Bible was filled with the false prophets and false gods like Baal and all these other gods in there, a demon or dragon or whatever it was. But Jesus is a real God. And if you talk to him, he will speak back to you. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. That's another lie of the devil. You've sinned so much. God will never forgive you. I had a friend of mine said to me at work, he said, Lanny, I could never come to God. He said, I've committed so many sins. He said, I've even committed adultery. Well, that's a lie of the devil, because Jesus is the forgiver. He wants to forgive. You don't have to beg him. He will forgive you openly. His arms are open to everyone, no matter who you are. He loves everybody. He loves the black man and the white man. He loves the Korean. He loves the Chinese. He loves the Russian. He loves the Muslims that don't know him, because he created everybody. And that was the reason I wrote that book, just to get the word out. I do my best, and that's all I can do is I've given a lot of those books away free just to win souls, and I thought about buying another 25 and just
now
sold them in
the,
huh?
Now,
go ahead.
The book, the first book, Warning, that's the story about you going to hell.
Right.
Now, Satan, You Lying Devil. Well, we still have a little bit of time. What's this one about?
Well, like I said,
or
you know,
is this what you're talking about with Satan?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go into a story that I've had a lot of experience with Satan and demons. Demons are real. Okay. Many, many years ago, when Lori and I were married, we were married back in '82. We didn't know for sure if Lori could. We knew God put us together, but we didn't know for sure if Lori could have kids. So we've been praying for a baby. And that was when we got married in '82. And we were praying for a baby. And one night, I heard this voice, literally spoke better English than you and me. He said, tonight's the night you're going to get Lori pregnant. Later on that night, Lori said to me, she said, I think I got pregnant.
Huh.
And this voice was like on my shoulder, whispering in my ear. And I said, why? She said, because God told me tonight was the night I was going to get pregnant. Well, long story short, because it's too long, you know, her stomach started getting bigger and stuff like that. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm leaving a lot of this out. The doctor, she was wearing maternity clothes. And, boy, she was embarrassed, too. But and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, get it in your head. You're not pregnant. And so we come back, and I said, it was like God was holding on my arm. I said, God, why did you tell me that Lori was going to be pregnant? And God spoke to me and said, son, that was not me talking to you. He said, what you went through, you have to know the story. What you went through is just what Job went through. He said, that was Satan talking to you. He said, now that you stood the test, he said, I'm going to bless you with a baby. Right after that, went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, now you're pregnant. And we had our first son, David. But Satan is real, and he's a master liar. And that's why I tried to put this stuff out, because he'll try to tell people. Satan will tell you, you're the only one that does this. You're the only one that does this sin. You're not as great as Lanny. Look at Lanny, how great he is. Now, that's not true. We all sin. We all have our weaknesses. And the Lord has spoken to me a lot of times, say, don't dwell upon your weaknesses. Dwell upon your strength. And that's why I wrote that book, to let people know that Satan is a evil, 100% evil, and he's a liar. And he's a master at deceiving people, misleading people. And he's doing it around the world right now. You get these false religions, and I'm not going to name names. They think their church is the right one, just to warn people that, you know, Satan is real and Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you ask Jesus to come into your life, you'll find out he's real. But that was the main thing, exposing Satan and his tricks, you know, his lies, because that one I just told you about, you know, he said, tonight you're going to get Lori pregnant. And God told me that was Satan talking to you. But,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Now, Satan, You Lying Devil, you. That's a really interesting book cover. I think Stephen knows a little more on this than I would. But tell us a little bit about this, and then Stephen can talk about how it came about.
Now, this was our staff artist, our digital artist, Anik, did this cover. And originally, Lion, he said that he wanted to see Satan on there leering at you and basically showing his deceptive nature. And boy, Anik really nailed that. that's one of my favorite covers by him. It's very powerful. And get over there to Amazon or your favorite retailer and check it out. Very cool looking cover.
You guys did a great job.
Well, thank you.
You guys did a great job. You put pictures in there. I was looking at it tonight. You guys did a wonderful, wonderful job on both of those books, you know? The covers were very nice, yeah.
Thank you. Now, when you're putting out books like this that have very powerful messages that you're trying to target those, obviously, to the people who most need to hear them, but yet those are the people who are least likely a lot of times to go buy the book. You mentioned earlier that you like to give away books. Who do you target? Who do you give books to? Who would you recommend our listeners pick up a copy and share a book with?
Well, you know, for Christians, they could give it to one of their loved ones they want to see get saved, you know. And I you know, give a lot of people. I give Muslims away, Muslims books that have came to the Lord, you know, and they're Christians and they live over here. And one guy, he sent my book and 6 or 8 copies of it over to Turkey for the Muslim Christians over there. And he said they didn't copy the book, but they just printed off the pages and passed them around. I know it got into England. A guy got it, one over in England, a minister, and we got it there. And it either got into Afghanistan or Pakistan. I think Afghanistan the book was in, because I used this Muslim Christian guy because he knew the connections, people over there. So the book's out there, you know. So I'm hoping that's winning souls for the Lord. That's warning, you know, no one is scared of hell. The Satan book, I never gave it to him. I don't believe I did, but winning souls.
Is this a good book to send to a prisoner?
Yes, it is. I thought about buying my son about 25 of them and send them to the prisons. We have I used to work a little bit in the prison ministry and jail ministry, but I know this guy that we just gave him about 100 some books, and he sends them out and give him my hell book, and he can get it into the prisons, you know, and just, hey, you know, just win some souls, change some lives, and get people to realize that, hey, Jesus is real before they die and find out hell's real too, you know. That's my thing. Just want to warn people, you know.
Now, we are running out of time here. Let's roll Lady Bird theme, and then I'm curious to see what kind of miracles Lanny has seen in his life.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Sean, and I'm 10. Lady Bird is my beagle. Right from the start, I knew she had special powers, and that we could share secrets. I was the coolest kid at school before the accident hurt my ability to see. Then, I became a kid with special needs. I was not always close friends with the kids I started calling feel, hear, touch, and taste. I mean, we would play sometimes, but then I needed help learning a new way of life that takes friendship and trust. Lady Bird helps a lot, especially since she has special needs too. Lady Bird understands how each of us has our own challenges to rise above. I would really like to tell you about Lady Bird and what she does for my friends and me. Our story is in the book, Lady Bird, Sean's Sixth Sense, by Gracie Bradford. Gracie is a really cool grandma who writes these I Am stories about kids finding new ways to be their best. You should check out Gracie Bradford's book. A great one to start with is the one with me and the world's coolest dog, Lady Bird, Sean's Sixth Sense.
All right.
That was a fun commercial to make. Our narrator was a 10-year-old whose father is a radio DJ, and he really nailed the character on that one. So, Lanny, you've seen some miracles?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I'll tell you, seen several of them, but due to the time, I'll just tell you a couple of them. My wife, this is recently. Both of these two I'm going to tell you about just recently. My wife had a watch, and we was going to go out to, you know, Sears store and get a new battery for it, and I put it in my pocket. So we go out there, and it wasn't there. So I come back, and I'm looking for her watch all over, because it was a watch that I bought for her, and it meant a lot to her. So I'm looking all over the house for it and couldn't find it. I realized I had put that watch in my pocket. I thought I went out to the recycle bin and throw stuff in, bent over from the deck down, and I thought, well, maybe it fell in there. So there was a pizza box right on top of that. And I took the pizza box out, and I looked inside of it, and I threw the pizza box down on the ground, and I went down about a foot and a half to look for that thing. There was probably about 4 or 5 foot of recycle in there. So I said, well, I'm not going to go through all of that. So I went back in, and I prayed some more, and I kept asking God. I said, where's that watch at? You know, so I go back out and take the recycle. Again, I take the pizza box out. I throw it on the ground, and because that was the first thing on there, and I go down another foot or so and look all over, and I couldn't see the watch, so I threw it back in and closed the recycle barrel. And I went in and I prayed, and I said, now, God, you know where that watch is. I said, send an angel so I can get that watch. That's my wife's watch. I said, you know where it's at. So I go back out, open up the recycle, and right on top of that pizza box was her watch. So I'd thrown that pizza box down, and then I had my wedding ring bought it about 38 years ago, and it meant a lot to me. And I was doing the dishes, and I put my wedding ring and my watch in my front pocket. And when I got the dishes done, I pulled in, got my watch. The ring wasn't there, and I don't know where it went. I don't know how it got out of my pocket to this day. So I'm looking all over the house. My oldest son, 38 years old, he was crawling on the carpet and through the kitchen on his hands and knees, looking all over for the ring, and he couldn't find it. And grandkids were looking. Laurie was looking. I was looking. I went outside, looked in the car, looked in the garage. And my son came out. We looked in the driveway, and we just could not find it. So that was on a Wednesday, and the carpet was all cleaned up. You know, they had my grandkids went away, and they changed their clothes and left them on the carpet. So my wife picked the clothes up and put them in the clothes hamper. And I'm sitting on there. And like I said, there wasn't nothing on the carpet except a coat hanger. And it was on a Saturday. And I said to God, I said, God, you know where that ring's at. I said, would you have an – I said, that ring means a lot to me. That was my wedding ring. And I'm sitting on the couch. I said, I'm going to take a nap now, Lord. I said, would you have an angel come, put that ring back on my finger? I must have – closed my eyes for about 5 minutes, and lo and behold, I looked up, and there was that ring 6 foot from me on the carpet. Got tears in my eyes, went in and told my son and grandkids and wife, I said, look it right there. And everybody knew it was a miracle. You know, my wife took a picture of it, you know, and see, God knows everything. He's got all your answers. He knows where that, and I still thank him today for my watch and my ring and other things I've seen, you know, physical healing and stuff like that, but I don't know how much time we got left. So,
We do have a couple of comments on Twitter from Verwayne, referencing our earlier conversation. He says, yep, K-Line died April 6, 2020, age of 85. It was a bad day for me. I met the man several times at Tiger Stadium and in Tiger Town, Florida. Such a sweetheart. Yeah, Verwayne, that was back in the day. We'd go down to Tiger Stadium and the players, especially before the game started, you could just go down to the fence, especially by the dugouts, and the players would come out and they'd talk. They'd hang out. They'd sign autographs and spend time with you. And you just don't see that hardly anymore at all. They'll throw a ball into the stands and, you know, they might acknowledge a fan. But back then, I mean, all these guys we've named, I've met all these guys. I've talked to them. I've shaken their hands. And at one time or another had many of their autographs. So those were the good old days. But Verwayne also posted the note, God's love is universal. As a paramedic, I've seen people live who should have died. I've seen so much and been a tool in many miracles. I was shot with a shotgun at less than 10 feet and yet lived. I had a brand new baby and remember being told my kid needed her daddy.
Amen.
There you go.
Talking about K-Line, can you guys remember when way back in the days when they offered K-Line, I believe, a $100,000 contract and he said, I'm not worth it. He signed for $85,000. Now if you offer $10 million, I'm worth more than that. But that was Al Kaline. He was a great guy. He had character. Yes, he was Mr. Tiger.
Like you said, he had character. That was the thing. You know, it wasn't just greed and how much can I get, you know.
That was when people cared for baseball. When they played the game. But nowadays, these people play for the money, you know. But different people, you know, so.
The money's outrageous. I think in a sense, this is one of the reasons why I'm not so baseball obsessed anymore is because I think that money has ruined the game. You know,
I agree.
You watch a player that you see him from the time he's a rookie until he's played six seasons for your team, and then he's a free agent, and some other team opens up the checkbook and, you know, tops the Tigers offer, and he's gone. And that's such a bummer because back in the day when you played – you usually played for the team for the duration of your career, maybe towards the end if you still wanted to play, but you a little, you know, weren't quite up to playing. You weren't as good. The team might trade you elsewhere or let you go elsewhere at the end, but your good years, you were right here in town.
I agree 100%.
You don't see that anymore. Yeah.
So many of those good Tiger players, they left for more money. I'm not going to mention names, but. They weren't loyal to the team, but the fans.
I'll mention names. Kurt Gibson. I remember back in the 80s when he left. And, man, he was my favorite Tiger at that time. He was a Michigan State Spartan, played football and baseball at State. And then he jumped ship for the Dodgers. It's like, man, come on. Really, dude?
Yeah.
And then Jack Morris left from the 84 team. He left and went to Minnesota. And then Lance Parrish, he was out in, with the Angels out in California. And it just, you know, those are my guys. That I watched all those players come up as rookies. And then free agency,
right.
And they're gone.
I know it.
It's all about money.
Money got them.
Yep.
All for money.
Now, Lanny,
we
appreciate what you said about working with Fresh Ink Group, you know, with the quality of what we try to put out and, you know, being at least friendly and personable. You were one of our first authors with your warning book. I think that was like the third or fourth book that we published, which means that you got to work with Ann a lot. And we talked about Ann on the show last week because we certainly miss her.
I do, too. I like Ann.
Yeah.
She's very nice.
Yeah.
Very friendly person, yeah.
Well, Beam, I think we're running out of time here.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, I just want to say this to Lanny. Now, I forgot to tell you this off the air before we got on. When the show ends here, it's going to kill the phone line, so it's going to cut your phone connection. But stick by your phone because we're going to give you a call right back as soon as the show ends, just to kind of touch base and let you know how we thought it went. We do that with each of our guests. So how
do people find you, Lanny, if they want to tell you their story, send a message to you, or ask you a question?
Well, they could probably get to me through Fresh Ink Group, or like I said, I have my book's got a different address and stuff, and because you know, that book's been out for 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years, but you know, I got a Gmail address. I'm not on Facebook. Maybe they could get to me through Fresh Ink Group. You think that would be possible?
Yeah, we have a contact page. So all they have to do is go to Fresh Ink Group and find the contact page, and they can, any questions or comments that they have, we can forward it to Lanny. So listeners, you want to holler at him. He's not on Twitter either, but anybody with the comments that come in later, I'll let him know what was said. And And we'll,
okay, you want me to stay on the phone when the show gets done? Is that what you said?
No. Like I said, that when I end the show, I push a button. It's going to kill the phone. It's going to disconnect.
Okay.
So, but we will call you back shortly after. You know, give us a couple minutes, and we'll be calling you back. So, But yeah, thank you for taking some time out and talking to us and sharing your story with our listeners, Lanny. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Lanny.
Thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, and thank you for having me on, Steve and Beam.
All right.
So,
our pleasure.
So, Beam, if anybody missed the show, where can they find it?
Well, if you missed the show or any other episode, or you just want to listen to them again, there's all kinds of places. We are at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, stephengees.com. And each of those sites, just click on the podcast tab and you will find us there. We are on YouTube. Go to YouTube and check out the Fresh Ink Group channel. Just type in Fresh Ink Group, and it'll take you right there. And then we're also on Spotify. Just go to Spotify, whether it's a free account or a premium account, and type in Fresh Ink or Voice of Indy. That's all one word. And you'll find us there on Spotify. And I just put in today to get us on Pandora, so within a few weeks we should know whether we're on Pandora or not. I'm guessing we probably will be, but so there will be another outlet for you. So anybody that missed the show, there you go. You got all kinds of places to find it.
Yep. Okay.
Now, in today's newsletter, we put a promotion there about a book pack that's for sale now with almost 24 science fiction books, all for $7.99, and it's also including the Star Child Compact, which is the first in the Star Child trilogy by Fresh Ink Group author Robert G. Willis-Crock. So if you want to get a lot of really good science fiction books, including one by Alastair Mayer, too, for only $7.99, get back to that newsletter and go click on that link and go support that promotion.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good deal, everybody. So check that out.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep learning about these kind of deals, subscribe to our newsletter, because we're keeping you abreast every week of what's going on with Fresh Ink Group authors and what's going on in the publishing industry.
Yeah, and you can also find out what's going on with Fresh Ink Group by visiting the Fresh Ink Group Facebook page. It's Fresh Ink Group LLC. Go over there and check that out. You can find us on Twitter at Fresh Ink Group and also at Voice of Indy. You can find us on Instagram at Fresh Ink Group. And also our secondary Instagram account is at Fig Publishing, at FIG Publishing. So there's all kinds of places to check us out.
There's one last thing that I wanted to mention in case any of you listeners are not hip to it, showing my age there. And that's a new program called Amazon Sidewalk. Now, if you have any Amazon-connected devices, which is, what, Alexa, Echo, I think Dot is one of theirs, and they've got several more, plus you can connect through your Amazon accounts things like your Ring doorbells or Ring securities and cameras and whatnot. Well, Amazon is starting a new program, and I believe it's later this week, called Amazon Sidewalk. And if you have a connected device and you do not opt out, then you are automatically opted in, and Amazon is going to start sharing bandwidth from your router, from your Wi-Fi with your neighbors in order to ensure evenness of their service, or if a neighbor loses Wi-Fi or internet connections, so that Amazon can stay connected to them. If you are not comfortable with the notion of letting Amazon have access to your bandwidth and to be able to make the decision to share that with your neighbors, you have to opt out. Because if you do not opt out and you have one of those connected devices, you will automatically start being part of that program. So if this is something of interest to you, get out there with your favorite search engine, Google it, Bing it, DuckDuckGo it, Firefox it, whatever, and learn about Amazon Sidewalk and then follow the steps to opt out.
Yeah, that's not cool. I don't like that kind of stuff. They should be asking you before doing it. Now, listeners, next week we have a talented author, someone I've known for quite a while now, Jan Sykes. She's a Texas writer, and she knows how to weave a fantastic story. I just read one of her short stories last night, and I'm looking forward to having her on. A lot of our listeners might know who she is, being connected to me for so many years, but tune in next week, and that's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, terrific author, terrific musician, and just all around
good
nice
person.
Lady. Yeah,
good
you'll
person.
Like Jan. So thanks
right,
for coming on the show, Lanny. This has been a lot of fun, very interesting, and you had some good heartfelt stories, and we really appreciate you sharing those with us.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you all next week, everybody. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Yep, bye. Bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.